Revelation 3, please, and verse 20 are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Now I'd like to read it again. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. We trust God will bless his word. The picture is drawn by the Savior himself. And in few other verses is the act of salvation so clearly seen. You can recognize clearly the interest and intention of the Savior. You can see as well the response, the reaction of the sinner. You say, what's the picture? It's very simple. It's the picture of a person standing outside a closed door. You ask me tonight, does the Savior stand at a door? That's his picture. But you ask me further tonight, what is the door? Someone might say, the door of the mind? No. The mind door has been opened by the illumination of Scripture that dispels ignorance. I suggest to your heart tonight that you know that you are a sinner. You know that. You've learned it. You recognize tonight that sin brings its sentence, death. Solemnly we have heard it. And I trust the heart has trembled. It's the word of God. Therefore the door of the mind doesn't need to be opened. It's not our intelligence that's closed. We don't. Oh, but somebody says, I know the door. It's the door of my emotion. Is it? Has the Spirit of God not touched your emotions already? You say, should the emotions be touched? Of course they should. The preacher can't speak of things divine and eternal that touch the soul without emotion. Something wrong if we can. The matter's too vital. The matter's too real. For a soul to miss God's salvation is too terrible. The emotion touched by the Spirit. But wait now. What's the door? The door is the door of the heart. Oh, but you say, I thought that was the emotions. No, you misunderstand. The heart in Scripture is the center of the will. It's the place where decisions are taken. It's the innermost core of my being. Now that's the door. Didn't you recognize in the gospel that has been preached night after night that the gospel demands action? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. Do I need to take you back to school? That's an action word. That demands action. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do I need to take you back to school to tell you that the word come demands action? To as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. Received, a verb, it demands action. You got the picture? Now those actions are depicted by the Lord himself as the opening of the door of the heart. Stop there, please. That's the action that is demanded. You know, tonight, a poor soul in this meeting has only one thing to do to be lost forever. You say, what's that? Do nothing. Come and go from gospel meeting. Take no action. That will inevitably seal the doom. Now, are you clear about the place where the Lord seeks entry in the heart of the sinner? But now I come to this. I want to know who is this that wants entry into the innermost part of my being? Who is it wants to be in control in the throne room of my inner being? Has he any right? Look at how he describes himself. It's his own description. He says, the Amen. Now you know what the Amen is. That's the last word. In the lips of man, it means so be it. In the lips of deity, it means it shall be so. And Christ is God's last word to man, his final spokesman. You get the implication of that? If you refuse his appeal, it means God has nothing more to say. Christ is God's ultimatum to the hearts of men. Refuse. There's no other to whom you can turn. It's God's final spokesman. But his second word is this. The faithful and true witness. That's not only his coming, that's his cross. That word takes me to Calvary. That word takes me to see how Christ witnessed to the love of God. To the heart of my God reaching out to sinner. Oh, look, please, will you, just for a moment, at the shame, the suffering, at the awful separation of Calvary's dark cross. Look, will you, at what was bent when the darkness closed him in, when he, the sinless Son of God, became the sin-bearer for men, and when upon his sinless head God allowed the stroke of judgment to fall, and Scripture saying, Christ died for our sin. Look at the thorn-crowned brow. Look at nail-pierced hands and feet. And then look, please, at the hand that knocked. It's got a nail print in the hand. That's the one who died for man's sin. That's the one who bore the shame and the sentence of Calvary's cross for men. Do you think he has a claim to stand at the door and seek entrance into the human heart? Look at the nail print. Could you say it was for me? Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I shout and sing, he died for me. My Lord the King, that's me. But that's the hand that knocked. But he's more. God's final spokesman. God's faithful witness. But look again, he's the beginning of the creation of God. That's not the past creation. That's the new creation. That's the truth that he came from out the dead, the man now with glory crowned, the head of all that's new. And oh soul, if you want to be in the great purpose of God, in the place of eternal life, you need to be linked to him. But that's the one. Oh marvelous grace, oh wondrous grace, that's the one who stands at the heart door of the sinner. No. And he speaks. Has he been knocking at your door? Let's look at his purpose. You're clear, are you, as to the place that he's standing? You're clear as to the person who stands. He has the right to stand there. But look, what's his purpose? Well, if you see a person standing outside a door and listen to the knock, 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 and then the speaking, you're clear about what they want to do. They want to come in. Want to come in. I wonder tonight, has God, the Lord himself, been speaking to your heart? Some knocks are loud. I shared a desk with a boy at school, college, in the day when we had double desks. That boy and I, he was a little bit older than I, but we attended gospel meetings for 10 weeks. I sat near the front. He sat near the back. The meeting's closed. Neither of us got saved. Christmas came. And that boy riding on a horse on Christmas Day was thrown over its head. And he never spoke in time. And out into God's eternity. When I got the news, I fled to my bedroom and I flung myself at the bedside and I cried to God for mercy. A knock had been heard that reverberated through my very being. He knocked. Sometimes he knocks very, very loudly indeed. The accident, in the death, in the disease, the illness, he knocked.
what he's been.
Tenderly, graciously, he speaks in the silence of the heart. Maybe tonight some of you are going back to times when you gathered round your mother's knee and hymns were sung, your father prayed. It's long gone. But that speaking voice speaks to your heart tonight. It's the same Savior. The same Savior. That's the one who knocked. That's the one who speaks. What he wants you to do, he wants you to take that door, fling it open, say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There's room in my heart for thee. But maybe that's the trouble. Maybe you haven't got room. That was what was wrong at Laodicea. Oh, they'd go. So much of it. Earth's possession. But Christ said, you're poor. I want to ask you tonight, soul, in light of eternity, are you rich or poor in Christ's term? I'm not interested tonight what you have in the bank. It's none of my business. I want to know whether you have Christ for eternity. If you haven't Christ, you have nothing for eternity. You're poor. That poverty will take you to a lost lake of fire. Let the business alone. You have more important business. What shall a man profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? People at Colossae, they'd garments, rich, glossy cloak, where they appeared so well outwardly. What does Christ say? You're naked. You got a profession? Deep down in your heart, you know it's not real. Listen. Make sure that you have Christ in the garments of salvation. Because when it comes to the end of life's little day, the lights begin to go out and the shadows begin to gather and the friends' voices begin to fear, you need Christ. You need the Christ. The Christ of God. Who died to provide the garments of salvation. You naked? Don't sleep tonight till you have Christ. People at Laodicea had foresight and vision and eye salve and the medicine cupboard. The Lord said, you're blind. You're blind. So you might be a very acute thinker in the home or in the business or in the affairs of life. But if you're not saved tonight, you can't see afar off. You're not looking at eternity. You're deliberately closing your mind to what eternity would mean. And before God tonight, I appeal to you in my Savior's name. Now wake up. One standing at your heart's door, and he has been knocking, and he has been speaking, and his purpose is to come in. But there's a problem. There's something stands in the way. Holman Hunt painted that great picture, The Light of the World, depicting a shepherd with a lantern standing at a cottage door knocking, and the critics of the Royal Academy in London, they gave Holman Hunt a bad time. They said, you've made a mistake, Mr. Hunt. He said, what's that? You didn't put a latch on the door. And said, that's no mistake. The latch is on the inside. And only be happen, it can only be opened from the inside. Christ will force his way into no personality. Graciously he stands at the heart's door. Graciously he speaks and he waits and he knocks. He expects a response. But there's bars over. That bar of pleasure. A young man told me one night, stayed behind after the meeting, he had wept his way through the meeting on the second seat from the front. I sat down beside him at the close of the meeting. I said, would you like to be saved? He said, I'm never going to be saved. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I've made my choice. And he told me. He said, some months ago, meetings were in our district. God spoke to my heart. This Friday night, he said, I came to the T-junction in my car. To the left was the gospel meeting. To the right was the dance. He said, actually, on the crossing, I switched off the car engine. And I said, left or right? And he said, eventually, I turned right and went to the dance. I have missed my chance. I have lost the opportunity. My, I was glad to sit down beside him and tell him there was a Savior knocking. And a Savior speaking. Pray, friend, tonight trifle not. My Bible says my spirit shall not always strive with man. The Bible and experience teach that God gives special occasion. He draws me. He expects to be listened to. Bar of pleasure. Bar of pride. I could never take my place and say, I'm a lost sinner. So you better do it now, before it's too late. Bar of prejudice against the Christian, against someone. Will that be good enough reason for you to weep and wail throughout eternal ages if you refuse my Christ?
Pull back those bars this evening. Get rid of every difficulty. Make up your mind. I'm going to swing that heart's door widely open. I'm going to receive the Christ of God.
You say, but how can I? Is it simple? If God spares you till you're home, I have no right to give you that liberty. Because I don't know what will happen on the way home. But you try a door. Very simple, isn't it? Just open the door. It's a picture. My empty heart. The Christ who waits. Do you know what he said? I will come in. Oh, the promise.
I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, the friend that enters the heart. Oh, the fellowship we enjoy. Sup with me.
The first dish I got was forgiveness of sins. And that was great.
The second dish was peace with God. And that thrilled the heart. I could sleep that night when I couldn't sleep before.
The third dish was a place in heaven. Because he died. Oh, swing the heart's door widely open. Do you think he'd hesitate? You step over the threshold. The friend. The fellowship we enjoy. And then he said, he with me. I with him. That's only the beginning. He with me. We have a great future together. I'm going to be with Christ eternally. What about you, Saul? My Savior wins. My Savior speaks. Are you going to keep that door closed tonight? Against the man with a nail-pierced hand. The days of Queen Victoria, she used to spend some time at Balmoral in Scotland. And on an evening and a winter afternoon, she would take a walk up in the heather. She did that this day. She came to a little croft. The smoke curling up told the occupant was there. You tramped up the pathway. The royal hand knocked at the door. No answer. She knocked again. No answer. She knocked again. From the inside there came a voice.
Away with you! Leave me alone!
Leave me alone. The retreating footsteps of the royal person was a condemnation. It was only the next day the occupant heard who the door knocker had been. Savior stands tonight. Will you open that heart door? Will you let him in? He said, I will come in. May it be so.